hold on loosely, because here we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. Welcome my next guest, and it is Jeff Carroll, and he is the author of Restreeting, and it is all about the new rules for career success in today's volatile economy, and things hidden in yesterday's rock and roll lyrics. Thank you, Jeff, for joining me. I do appreciate it.
Hey, good to be here, Drex.
I've known Jeff for a long time. We go way back, and so it's great to have you on KGO.
Thanks. I look forward to our conversation.
Okay. So now explain to me and everyone listening what you do, taking the lyrics from big, huge, massive rock and roll songs.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things that as I look at the whole, you know, if you will, career management space, it was a way to just kind of get people energized, get people's attention a little more. And, you know, as you know, rock and roll music or any music is kind of a universal language.
Sure.
And so one of the things that I thought that was kind of cool about the rock and roll music, first of all, it's resilient. You know, I mean, 50 years old, any one of those artists can decide to tour when they want to if their bank account's getting a little low. And so it's got energy, it's got passion behind it, and I feel like that is a great, great kind of avenue to get people thinking a little differently about their careers.
Right.
And then the lyrics, some of the lyrics, and we'll probably talk about some of those, but some of the lyrics, the song that you played to introduce the session, you know, Hold On Loosely. I wrote an article called Hold On Loosely to Your Job. You know, I mean, too many times people just squeeze their job. They think it's the only thing they have. And in many respects, by holding on too tightly, they're actually losing it, so to speak. So that's kind of the whole idea, kind of genesis behind taking rock and roll music and lyrics and talking through and identifying some, if you will, kind of career principles or just helping people kind of rethink work and their careers and what they might want to do with their lives. So.
Well, I think that when you talk about hold on loosely to your job, I totally agree with you, because we want to hold on and we don't want to let go. But sometimes the job may let go of us or vice versa. Something happens in life. Life just happens sometimes, and you have to let go of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what I try to really kind of stress through the things that I've written and when I talk is that, you know, it's really about your talents and your passion and connecting that with a purpose, whether that's in a business or a nonprofit or wherever you might be, that's really what you need to kind of hold on to and develop and grow, as opposed to I've got to hold on to this thing called a job. And quite frankly, to be honest, I mean, jobs are a fairly recent invention, and they kind of came in with the Industrial Revolution. And I think in many respects, as people have experienced in the marketplace, that really kind of jobs are kind of out, so to speak, and that it's really understanding the work that you do and realizing that you can do that in a lot of different ways. And it's not necessarily just, quote unquote, a job.
Well, and there's a revolution going on now in the job market. We speak frequently, and I was just talking to someone last night about the gig economy, specifically to Uber. But by 2020, 50% of the jobs are going to be part of the gig economy, where you are your own independent contractor.
That's right. That's right. And I'm not quite sure we as workers, whatever, whether that has really caught up with us, or we've caught up with that idea that, you know, in essence, you've probably read the book by Daniel Pink called The Free Agent Nation, and we are quickly becoming that. And so that's why I guess I get kind of excited and passionate about helping people really kind of figure out what is it that they do and do well and kind of what gets them up in the morning, because that's really what will help them remain relevant in the marketplace and hopefully resilient as well. As, you know, again, change just continues to happen. It's just a matter of the rate of change, so to speak, that changes all the time.
Right. And what Jeff Carroll does is he teaches people and, you know, how to go and get through the transition in life from sometimes your job to the next job or a career to a new career. And you and I've had many, many conversations about people who have done something for a long time, whether that be 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and all of a sudden they find or they discover that they'd like to try something new or that they have to try something new.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. And I think where the challenge for most of us is how do we navigate this marketplace or how do we pivot into something different, whether that's by choice or, like you said, by you have to. Somebody mentioned this, that, you know, there's only two real drivers behind change, and it's inspiration or desperation. And we all know that when you're desperate, obviously there's some the choices can somewhat be a little dubious. But that's the, you know, as you mentioned, we people continue to find themselves in this situation where it's kind of charting new water. And so by going through some of the songs, going back to the songs and some of the principles that I connect with those songs, I think helps people start to think differently. So in fact, they can shift from some of the old paradigm career paradigms to some of the new ones.
Especially those who are going through the generational change. I mean, you know, the millennials are coming in and let's face it, they're the 18 to 34s now. And you must accept them even if you don't. I happen to embrace them. I think there are so many positive things about working with millennials, and I know they hate the word. But it's really essential if you are an Xer I'm an Xer, but if you're a boomer or an Xer, you've got to embrace this. So I want to go to your next rule, and you have a number of them. New rule number two, run down your dream. So I would think that's Running Down Your Dream by Tom Petty, right? Because no one else, if you don't run down your dream, no one else will, right?
Correct. And you know, the chorus to that song is really the heart of it, that it's called Running Down Your Dream That Never Would Come to Me, Working on a Mystery, Going Wherever It Leads.
That's right.
And, you know, I think so many people know those words, but I mean, really, in many respects, he's kind of laid it out there for us in many respects. You know, running down your dream. Well, you know, first of all, are you? I mean, are you running down somebody else's dream, you know, or are you in a job that your dad, mom, whomever said, oh yeah, you should do that. I mean, cause that's, you know, that's secure, which, you know, is a misnomer to begin with, you know, running down that never would come to me. And that's where I think with the rock and roll music and the lyrics that it can help people, take that on a little bit easier to really figure out, you know, this isn't coming to me. I got to figure this out. I got to spend some time figuring this out. Working on a mystery, which, of course, I can speak for myself. I was talking to somebody the other day, and, you know, I don't want to sound like too much of a, like, you know, you're a person who never stays in one job. But I added up. I'm working at my 7th organization in my 15th job. I never knew, you know, when I graduated from college that I would be sitting in this kind of situation. And so the last part is going wherever it leads. I mean, that if, in fact, you're really focused on what is it that you do well and connecting that with, you know, with your work, again, that's part of just kind of figuring this out and not just letting it go. One last thing I'll say is I worked with a coach, and she had a kind of a great term. she said a lot of people have their careers are happy accidents in some respects. I don't think that's the case anymore as much. But, you know, just kind of like, hey, they just kind of joined a company and then good things kind of happened and one thing led to another. And, you know, they just ended up in this job that really, really paid well and all those kinds of things. And unfortunately, I don't think those days are with us as much anymore at all.
Well, not as much, but every end is a new beginning. And so I've got to take a break here. Yeah. Where we'll continue our conversation with Jeff Carroll. He is the author of Restreeting, and we will post it at Generation Drex. You can join us on Twitter as Generation Drex, the new rules for career success in today's volatile economy. Hidden in yesterday's rock and roll lyrics, and it's fantastic. We'll be back with Jeff Carroll right after we check out the traffic situation with Lee Graham.
Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show.
Away we go on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com.
It was a beautiful day. Sun beat down. I had the radio on.
And as the sun goes down on California, good evening to all of the Western United States. As we chatted up with Jeff Carroll, he is the author of Restreeting, the New Rules for Career Success in Today's Volatile Economy. We have all the information listed at Generation Drex. You can join us on Twitter. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, running down your dream and because no one else will, Jeff. And we were just kind of laughing. Everybody here loves your whole thought process of taking the lyrics and dissecting them. And we just said to each other, you know, one of the reasons we love our job is because all these radio people are so dysfunctional that if we work a normal job, then we're the weirdos. But we can all be ourselves when, I mean, you're a radio guy. You know what we're talking about. Yeah, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So it's, I mean, that whatever that is, whatever you're doing, whether you're a tech person, you are in your own little geekdom or whatever it is, no offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you love that. I mean, and I think that people work at jobs and they want to work at jobs at where they share the same passion with their coworkers.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, when you're so true. When I boil a lot of what I talk about down to a couple things, and when I coach people and coach various managers or whatever, it really boils down to what are you doing and where are you doing it? I mean, I don't want to, you know, simplify it too much, but, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? What kind of work are you doing? Is it kind of aligned with your talents and what you really are excited about? And then where? And that doesn't mean just, you know, what the building is, but where being the fact that the people you're around, you know, they share some of the same types of interest and passion around that work, and you know where the culture that you're in, and so I think that's really what where people find themselves in a good spot where the what and the where kind of aligned, and you know kind of find themselves in a spot where it's just not working, something's not working here, and one of those two things could be way off. So.
Well, then it's time to move on. So let's talk about rule number three, which is your comfort zone is not your safety zone.
Yeah. I think in the past, let's put it this way, in the past, in regards to, you know, in the old paradigm where, you know, a lot of people joined a company and stayed there until they retired. That's probably more of the greatest generation, if you will.
Right.
But, you know, the comfort zone was the safety zone in the sense that, hey, I'm comfortable here. People know who I am. And, you know, I've got people that, you know, security is a very high value. But in many respects, feeling comfortable, too comfortable in your job and in the organization is not the safety zone, because that can be blown up the next day from the standpoint of the company gets sold or, as I call it, a new sheriff comes to town, you get a new boss, so on and so forth. So the fact is that people who are kind of relying on those old ideas of around job security, they're just not there anymore.
I think all of us. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things working here in the Bay. I think we're all very mindful of that because things just churn here so quickly.
Yeah. And so going to feeling uncomfortable, like there's, you know, who writes some really good literature around this is Seth Godin. And in regards to the fact that, you know, you're actually being uncomfortable is something that actually is probably, I know it sounds kind of turned upside down, is more of the safety zone, because the fact that if you're being able to work within that that kind of realm where you know that there's a lot of changes going on, that certainly that is going to help you, if you will, survive and even thrive in kind of the new economy.
We're speaking with Jeff Carroll, who's a career strategist and speaker, a radio host, and he's finding, you know, hidden in yesterday's rock and roll lyrics, branding, and it's called restreeting the new rules for career success in today's volatile economy. So let's talk about the fact that sometimes you need to reject a hand-me-down career. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is that I think so often, as I have talked with, be it students or folks that are just starting their careers or midlifers, what you find out in many respects when you start talking about, well, how did you get in this kind of work, and tell me a little bit about that, and more times than not, you really start digging into, and what's troubling for me, but I think it's more common than as most of us know, is you find out that many times maybe other people almost really chose that job or that career for that person, or, you know, their parents said, hey, listen, if you don't major in accounting, you know, because that's when you can get a job after school, I'm not paying for your education, or all these other outside, if you will, influences come into basically deciding on a job or career. And as we all know, that only can last so long. And somehow, some way, the person starts getting very unsettled and realizes that it's not part of who they are.
Okay, so we're talking to a lot of parents. I don't know how many college students we're speaking to right now, but we're talking to hundreds of thousands of parents. And okay. I think the important thing is, and my parents, for instance, had the very, very best of intentions for me. But they wanted me. They wanted me to learn a trade, and not necessarily because, you know, I really wasn't Harvard stuff. I just wasn't a Harvard guy. So at least get a career down. And what happened was radio started immediately. So I never did what really they wanted me to. So I guess what I'm trying to get for everybody to take away from this conversation is: be careful what you're trying to impress on your kid. Your son or daughter, as to your ambitions for them. Because, go ahead. Run with that.
No, I think you couldn't have said it better, Drex, in the sense that I think it's well-intentioned. Obviously, parents want their children to do well and to have a fulfilling life and successful, whatever that means. But they could be doing the exact opposite by putting so much pressure on going into something that they think will be secure. And that's why I bring up either accounting or engineering or something where you can draw that straight line between, okay, you get this degree and you go off and you work in that profession. I think the exact what many times happens is that it becomes a disaster, because sooner or later you can't hide from yourself. You know what I mean? After a while,
you're
doing work that is just after a while makes you miserable. So I think that there's a lot of indication as we all grow up that kind of show kind of a little bit of where we're heading. And I think that giving children an opportunity to explore some of that and being, you know, being confident that, hey, they're going to find their way, but it's not a kind of a forced type of.
Yes, it's not necessarily control. Your way. It's their way.
Exactly.
And I guess that's really the takeaway. All right, I've got to take a break. We'll be back with Jeff Carroll, the author of Restreeting the New Rules for Career Success in Today's Volatile Economy. And the book is just simply called Restreeting. R-streeting, okay? All right, we'll be back, and we'll talk about running on empty and Born to Run and all those things as we continue the conversation on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. Which is a great song for a great book. It's called Restreeting, The New Rules for Career Success in Today's Volatile Economy. And hidden in yesterday's rock and roll lyrics, just like Jackson Browne's Running on Empty, Jeff Carroll speaks to it. A great song, I have to tell you. So let's talk about where we're at here. We are at rule number five, find out what you've got.
Yes, we can thank Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band for this. It is based on Badlands. And part of the restreeting is, the set tagline, just so that you know, is called Be the Boss of Your Career. So, again, a little Springsteen in there or whatever. But find out what you got. We spend very little time really kind of discovering our talents and our gifts. I mean, let's put it this way. If I could be so bold, and not that anybody would ever hire me as a president of a college or university, I think the whole model has to be just kind of broken up. And I would have every freshman start with a class. It would be a one-hour class on work or careers, call it anything you want. They would take this for the entire time they're at the university. So every semester they would take a class. And the reason being is that, yes, they're 18 or whatever, but we can't afford to be amateurs at our careers anymore. And I think that's what we've been able to get away with. And I think this is a way, when you think about, you know, finding out what you got, you have to start that process, I think, earlier and earlier.
And what is the process? I mean, are you speaking to mentorships or internships or?
I think internships and mentorships they're all great. But I think there's basically three things that really students need to be educated about. One, they have to be educated about who are they. I mean, we are a very non-reflective culture in society, even more so now. We all know that. Everybody's doing things. But you got to take a time out. There's no other way to figure out, like, you know, what you're really good at and really put it on paper than to actually do it. You know, you can't just do that as you're speeding down the road. So that's one thing. Figuring out, dig up what is it you're good at and what you're passionate about. Second thing is, what's this thing called the marketplace? You know, what's this thing called work? How does it work out? I mean, what is that thing all about? And believe me, there's a lot of confusion out there as to what it really is, you know, in the sense of what's relevant, what are kind of skills they're really looking for, certainly in, you know, the internships and the mentoring is great. But then the other thing then comes into play is understanding yourself, understanding the marketplace, and what are all the different navigational tools that students need to learn, and even adults as well, that connect my brand or who I am with the marketplace as to what is out there and what are their needs out there, kind of thing.
So, okay. Well, I have an intern in here, and he's from San Francisco State, so he's basically doing this. Yes, your thoughts, Dwayne?
I agree with everything. The thing with internships is that and internships are becoming so much harder to get, and they're actually your gateway into getting hired at the desired job that you want. So if we can't get an internship, then we can't get our foot in the door. And if we can't get our foot in the door,
it really is everything. I have to tell you, there are some things that haven't changed, and that's one of them. And I remember the competition, even though I was never an intern because I never finished college. I just began doing this. Having said that, I can understand why it's so competitive. But once you, I mean, you're already seeing this, Dwayne. You're inside. You already have the card key. So that's half the battle.
Forever.
It really is. It's
that's
half the battle.
That's more than I got. I had to sign paperwork before I got a card key. I'm jealous.
No, but so what you're talking about and speaking to Jeff, you've got to realize, and I think for instance Dwayne does. He realizes what his path is, and he's kind of feeling it out.
Exactly. And there's just as Dwayne said, there's just so many things that you learn when you're on the inside. You know, how do organizations work? How, what's it like to work with other folks that obviously are very different than you, or, you know, come at things very differently? And so there's just, yeah, you internships are definitely kind of like the number one reality therapy or reality test when it comes to learning about yourself and what you're good at and what you'd really like to do, and also learning about organizations and business and how it works or doesn't work.
And I have to say this, because in today's world, everybody thinks that they can use LinkedIn or employers want to go to monster.com or something like that. But I'm finding that a lot of corporations abhor this method. As a matter of fact, my company that I'm working for, Cumulus, they're wonderful. They're actually doing this process where they, when they have an opening in something, they'll send out a station. We have stations, so stations wide memo asking people to suggest people that they know rather than go to a nothing against Monster people, but I'm just saying, because it's more personal. And if somebody internally knows someone who wants to work in that field, it's just more organic.
Oh, absolutely. I would say that most companies put a premium on that by having a, you know, it's typically called kind of an employee referral program.
Right.
And companies will, you know, depending upon the demand for that particular position, I mean, they want to really encourage their employees to refer people in, and, you know, they'll give out bonuses and various incentives, because there is no doubt, you're right, Drex, that is the number one way to source great candidates.
Well, to your rule, find out what you've got. Yep. So if I'm an internal employee and I suggest someone for a gig, well, I know what they've got. I'm not going to suggest to them someone who doesn't have that thing, because it makes me look bad.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's the process is just kind of has its own way of kind of bringing some of the best talent to the plate.
Okay, well, let's go further. So the belief in the company ladder is probably a delusion, and you're probably delusional if you think that the company ladder is the way things are going to work out.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact is, in the lyrics, you know, now you're climbing to the top of the company ladder, hope it doesn't take too long. But there'll come a day when it won't matter and you'll be gone. There are multiple opportunities across firms, whether companies accept this or not, that, most employees, and certainly as we've talked about the millennials, they're loyal to their profession. They're loyal to their craft, if you will, or what is it that they do well. They at least look at it from a standpoint of where can I go to work to continue to grow and develop. That is so important nowadays, even more so than ever. And I think it's the millennials that have brought that back into the workplace, is saying, I want to grow, I want to develop, I want to learn more, you know, type of thing.
So, right, so they bounce. They just bounce right out.
Yep.
And I think that more employers, you know, especially the traditional corporate world, they're starting to understand how to deal with that. And if they don't understand how to deal with it, they're going to be on the losing end of this as the gig economy moves forward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, so many of them are trying to put in various retention plans and certainly, as you read about in the course out in San Francisco, Silicon Valley, I mean, there's all kinds of things that companies have come up with, you know, to make
babysitters, and, you know, you can sit on beanbag chairs, bring your dog to work. I mean, these things are all great, but the end of the day, I don't want a 3% raise. I want a 50% raise. How do you do that when you're 25? There's only one way to get a 50% raise.
Yes.
That's leave that tech company and move to another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, exactly. That's the ladder.
Yeah. And I think there's another part of this that's very, that has become more and more important to a lot of workers, whether they're millennials or not, is can I connect what I do well with a purpose? Can I connect with the purpose of the organization, the business, in that respect? You know, do I believe in what they're doing? Can I commit myself to that? That hasn't always been the case, but there is a lot of that going on as well.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Jeff Carroll. More of the Restreeting. Restreeting is the name of the book as we chat it up on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. Let's take a look at traffic with Lee Graham. This is the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. My guest is Jeff Carroll, the author of Restreeting. And he's actually taken hidden lyrics in yesterday's rock and roll lyrics and making them into sense in career transition. And it's a wonderful book. And so you wanted us to play Born to Run Out.
Yeah, well, you know, I think in many respects, I just... You know, that song. I mean, it's certainly the hallmark of Springsteen's lineup. But Born to Run, in the sense that I think for a lot of us, it's easy to settle. That's something that I have found not only in my life, but certainly in folks that I talk with. Kind of settle with, hey, it's okay. You know, I can just kind of get by. And I guess the whole sense about the Born to Run, that we were born to really pursue, our talents and how we're wired. And I think that it's just a reminder that, hey, you know, I truly believe that everybody's wired differently, but we all arrived here with a special set of gifts and talents. And I'm truly a believer in trying to encourage, inspire, and hopefully get people to run down whatever that dream might be.
Well, and I love one of the things that you talk about. We'll see if we can get through all these. Rock your career with these seven stops, not steps. Seven stops. So let's go through some of the stops.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be more than happy to do that. Yeah. So I call them stops for a reason. And I think the reason is that they're not steps. I mean, we're talking about kind of, you know, restreaming your career. That's not going to get done by just kind of, hey, I'm going to step. So the first one is retreat. Get away. You got to give yourself some space and time to really reflect on. So what's important to you? And where I move on to, you know, reflect, you know, and that's certainly something that we struggle with. But, you know, whether it's a book, whether it's a article, whatever it is, that can kind of get you thinking. And moving on to the number three, reassesses. It's reassessing. It's kind of like for a lot of us, it's kind of looking back and connecting the dots. Steve Jobs had a great comment, when he gave that presentation at Stanford University, is he said that you only can connect the dots looking in the rear view mirror. And I know for myself and for others, it's kind of like, yeah, there's kind of a pattern. There's kind of a thread that runs through our various jobs that we need to take some time to connect those, because I think that has a way of pointing us in the right direction.
Fantastic. Yes. And there are stops. There are stops in our career. And sometimes I love what you say about reflecting. And it's what Job said is so true. I mean, it just it is one of those truthisms, I suppose.
Yeah. You know, if I could, Drex, there's a metaphor that I share with people that, you know, kind of helps them kind of frame out what might be going on. So Basically, the first part of our lives, when you think of our careers, it's kind of like getting in a river, okay? And it's got flow and energy and boundaries. And you're just checking off the boxes. You know, got the degree, got the job, the wife, the husband, the house, the kids. You know, it just keeps going, and it's moving fast. And then somehow or another, and it can happen in your 40s, 50s, it can even happen in your 30s. This river kind of flows into a lake, okay? And so you're still in the water, but it's different. You know, you go, what's going on? I'm not quite sure how I got here and why I feel this way, because it was just so fast and furious before. And a lot of times it's just a little voice in our head or a catastrophe maybe even blowing out 50 candles on a birthday cake. So we're in the water, but here's where the challenge is, and this is where I hope Restreeting helps people. It's when they're in that lake and they're going, I'm not quite sure I like this and where to go, they have to be equipped with, here are some navigation tools to get you out of the lake to head toward that next river, that next opportunity that maybe you thought you had these tools before, but you really didn't because the river was just kind of carrying you there. So I don't know whether, as you think about that, but
it's a fantastic analogy. It's fantastic. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Especially here in the Bay. So, you know, here you are, you're in the center of the universe, the tech universe or whatever. And then on the next thing you know, you're not in the Bay, you're being swept out into the ocean. How did I get there? And how do I get back? Right.
Exactly. And that's where I think the Restreeting helps people kind of rethink and retool so that they can get, you know, they can get clear on what that next chapter might be.
And you and I talked earlier about this and your latest project, which is this book. And what I said to you is so true. I think, I mean, yeah, millennials, I think, should take note. But if you are in midlife, I think you will find this especially ringing true. There are so many great things that you point out career-wise. Because, hey, it's not always a party, and we all know crap happens, not always in a good way. Yeah. And so, I applaud you for what you've done.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Drex.
It's been a great hour.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity of being on, and thanks again. And again, I would just encourage you, you know, as maybe some of your audience is listening to some of the music that we've played or any of the music that there are some great, great lyrics that can certainly be used to energize and kind of inspire people.
Okay, Jeff Carroll, it's C-A-R-R, two R's and two L's. Yeah, rock and roll, right.
Okay.
Rock and roll, two R's, two L's.
Thank
yes,
you.
Jeff Carroll. All right,
good.
Have a wonderful rest of the week, Jeff.
Okay, you too, Drex. Thanks
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll be back. Ron Vi, the comedian, is in the house, everybody, and we're going to have fun with him next on KGO A10.